Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is Veronica Monet. Welcome to the Shame Free Zone. My guest tonight is Rochelle Chase. I've just been over looking at her amazing website, and I have to tell you, this woman is beautiful. She's absolutely gorgeous. She looks wonderful in blue, or red for that matter.
And
Rochelle, welcome to the show. You like me talking about you like you're not even here.
That's so kind of odd. Thank you for having me.
As long as I'm complimenting you, huh?
Right, exactly.
So that website actually is RochelleChase.com. And I went over and I looked at your book trailer. You write women's erotica. And you're obviously not very shy about this. I mean, you got yourself wrapped in a blue satin sheet. What's your comments on that?
Well, it's funny because actually I do modeling on the side, but it's all corporate. You know, I play the FaceTime. I decided, you know what? I want something that's, you know, classy but still sexy and represents what I write. So that was my first foray into doing something a little bit more, you know, not so conservative. So but I am still dressed under that sheet.
You definitely succeeded.
Thank you.
And don't tell people you're fully dressed under that sheet.
Oh, it does spoil the mystery, doesn't it? Sorry.
You
okay,
are.
I'm not.
No. Don't take away our fantasies. Your book, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Great book trailer, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm curious, was that all stock footage, or did you hire some actors to do some of that?
Well, it's funny because, no, I scoured the internet looking for stock footage that would go with it. You know, the music, I wanted it to look like it had been, you know, made from, like, custom, you know, footage. But, no, it's all stock footage.
And even the guy on the couch with his remote control, I thought that was really clever.
It took me forever. I mean, I think I took a whole weekend, like I said, scouring the internet to find those images.
Oh, it's really good. And you really can't do a book without a book trailer nowadays either, so. Is this your first book?
Actually, Sex Lounge was my first. Well, Sex Lounge was my first single title. I had a story come out in Secrets Volume 13, which was it's an anthology with three other authors. And that came out in 2005. But both Fin Club and Sex Lounge came out in 2007. And those were mine, you know, just me.
Yeah, you don't make a secret of the fact that you actually have a day job, right?
No, I don't tell where I work, but I do, it's not a secret, no.
So, it's very interesting. I mean, you're working in corporate settings, and then you're writing about sex on the side.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty well-balanced life. But how did you find that? Because most people kind of get stuck in the corporate thing, and then they never play around the edges with this stuff. How did you find the courage to do this?
Well, I think if anything else, it happened by accident, because I never thought I could write. I mean, I've always been very much whatever side of the brain is, the logical, analytical. I always get it wrong, left, right, whatever. And so I always thought that's what I'm good at. And I had taken an online writing class when I was doing some traveling with the day job one year, and with Lee Michaels, who I hosted a contest with. And so I was getting good feedback in her class, and I thought, you know what, maybe I can write. And so then I just started attending conferences and stalking agents and editors to pitch. I mean, stalking in a good way, not a bad way. And then just really entered online contests. That's how the erotic thing started. A best-selling author, Lori Foster, had an online contest. You had to submit the first 750 words. I submitted it and, you know, got a request from an editor. And, of course, got the most scathing rejection letter that I've ever received when I got that, when I got that, the book. When she got it.
You got the most scathing rejection letter ever?
Yeah, for me, ever. Yes. I mean, I was like, this was the first time I really submitted something, and I was like, oh my gosh, I mean, I don't think I wrote for a month after that. I was like, oh my God.
Well,
and then I got,
what did she say?
Yeah, what did she say? She said, what did she say? She said that, well, I don't know if I could say because then people might be able to figure out who it is, so no, I'm not going to say.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just trying to figure out, was it your writing style or was it the subject matter? Maybe she found the subject matter objectionable?
No, it definitely wasn't the subject matter because it was an erotic writing contest, and I had never, the gist of it, I think, and I do think there was some truth to it, was she felt like it wasn't a romance. I mean, I made my hero in that version. He was a little bit too alpha. You know, I kind of went a little bit further on the fantasy side where he did kind of come across as a little bit more of a jerk. So when I actually did sell that story to Red Stage, I did have to make edits to it, and they actually did have me tone it down. So I do think that's probably why I got the rejection.
Interesting. Are you sure that this didn't have something to do with the fact that, I mean, if you're just looking at the fantasy part of it, that's really about the sex, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted it to be more about sex within the context of a relationship.
Well, I think there are guidelines. It's really, I don't write straight erotica. I write erotic romance. And so there are certain things that you have to do in a romance, meaning it does have to be an emotionally satisfying story. It can be all, you know, it can have a very high sexual content, but
right.
It still has to be about the relationship. It can start off being about sex, but the characters have to care for each other, you know, at some point in the story.
Okay.
And so with that story, it did start off really more about sex, and I did make him, I didn't really let you into his mind so much so you could see really where he was coming from. So if you just read it, he could come across a little harsh.
Well, okay, so there's a difference between a romance novel and an erotic romance novel, or it's romantic erotica.
Well, erotica is not, obviously, it's not considered romance. The difference between it really is erotica really can be just all about the sex. It can just be about a sexual journey. There doesn't necessarily have to be, like, a learning. It doesn't have to be a relationship involved. It doesn't have to be about caring. It doesn't have to be, have a satisfying ending, you know, where, you know, the couple are a couple at the end. So with erotic romance, it's still a romance, meaning those things have to be in effect, but the difference there is the sex has to be there. It has to be a very hot read, and if you take the sex out of it, in a sense, you really still shouldn't have a story. I mean, the sex is like a character. It is part of the story.
Oh, I love that. The sex is like a character.
Yes.
Wow.
Which is why, to me, it's a lot harder for me to write. I mean, I you know, people knock it, and, you know, they think that, well, first, romance, you know, is like the ugly stepchild of the literary market. You know, they think that it's not really considered, you know, writing. And, I mean, you know, there's all this kind of elitism in the industry. But anyway, my point is that erotic romance is really hard for me to write. I've been dabbling in women's fiction, which is a little bit easier. Because, like I said, having that sex present the whole time, when your characters aren't doing anything sexual, when they aren't, you know, having sex, or not even doing foreplay, but you've got to keep that sensuality, that sexuality there. And I have to do that a lot because my characters don't have sex a lot of times until halfway through the book. So to make it a really hot read and to make it very sexual when they really don't have the penetration scene until, you know, late in the book, you know, that takes work.
Wow. So I guess I'm guessing you probably have to eroticize things like the, oh, you know, sunset or a walk along the lakeside or something like that. You have to constantly make those things, like, rich and...
Yeah. I think the difference there is, like, I'm not really big on the whole scenery. I mean, that's really not what I do. I think what my specialty is more is just taking the mundane situation and making it erotic. You know, like, so two people are sitting having coffee, or they're just having a regular conversation, but there's all this innuendo in the words, and there's, you know, the thought going on in their mind.
I think that is the hottest.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, that's why I love Porn really doesn't do anything for me. I love mainstream movies when they have that innuendo. Don't you think that's kind of something that they kind of went out with, like the 50s? You think about like Katharine Hepburn or Cary Grant. Heavy dialogue driven movies where they're just like having sex with each other the whole time, but they never even touch each other.
Totally, exactly.
So how do you do that in a book then?
It's hard. Like I said, it's hard. how do you do that in a book? Well, I don't know how you do it. I don't really know how to describe it. It's just, I guess I think of, a lot of times I have to layer it. Like I'll have an idea for a scene in my mind and I know what's going to happen. And sometimes I don't have the sensuality part of it done. I just really know what I want them to talk about or I know what I want the scene to do. And then I have to go back and think about it and think, okay, so I've got that part down. How do I make it sexy? Like, for example, in the one book that's coming out next year, it features a firefighter, and my hero and heroine are playing a game of basketball. It's a competition. He's bet her to do something that she can't win. And so I'm like, well, how do I make this basketball game seem, you know, a little sexy?
Now, see, if it was a movie, you could control that with things like, her skirt flying up and showing a little leg or... But you've got to be able to describe all this stuff.
Exactly.
So take us to a little bit of a discussion about the whole, you know, we've made a distinction here between romantic erotica, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right word? And then a romance novel, which is less sex, I guess.
Mm. Well, less explicit sex. It can still steamy, but it's... you're not going to have four-letter words. Like, my books will have four-letter words, but, but they're not used gratuitously. I mean, there's a reason, you know. When you're in the male point of view, I'm sorry, a guy's not going to think about making love. I really don't think that's what's going on in his mind, you know. So.
What woman in her right mind wants him to be thinking about that anyway?
Well, that too, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, darling, I worship your brain. Yawn.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing. You have to make them believable. I'm sorry?
Where does the bodice ripper fit into this? Is that a romance or an erotica? What is a bodice ripper?
Bodice ripper really was a derogatory term for romance in general, and that term's been around, gosh, for as long as I've been reading romance, which has been at least 20 years. So it really just kind of referred to the older romances where really that is the way they saw it. It's like, okay, so you have these really strong alpha heroes. And when I go back and read some of the early, you know, the early romances like Kathleen Woodiwiss, and there were some that were bordering on rape in a way. Because you had this, you know, she'd be a captain on a pirate ship and he would almost force himself on her, but she would like it in the end, you know. And so at that time, I think that's kind of where the phrase, the bodice ripper, that expression came from. But once again, I am guessing because I'm not sure if that's where it originated. All I know is it's been around to refer to the old romances. For at least 20 years.
Yeah, I was always not real sure if it meant that he was ripping her bodice with a knife, which I think sounds really hot, too. Her bosoms were so plentiful that she was just busting her bodice.
No, it was the former.
A giving test.
No, it was the former.
On both counts?
Well, you just had it partly right, just not with the knife. It really did refer to, you know, bodice ripper, the guy ripping off the shirt.
Ripping it off of her.
Blouse.
Okay. You don't like my idea with the knife, huh? Okay.
No.
I guess there's no hooks or chains in your books, huh?
Right. I'm like, yeah, we don't really have knives in there. Even back then, there really wasn't a lot going on with knives. So.
Okay, fine. Well, you're going to, probably trip on this, but I did not ever really have any kind of experience with romance novels growing up or as I got mm-hmm. older. It just nothing that I ever connected with. The first time I really saw a romance novel being used in a way that, you know, was sexually gratifying was on the set of a porn movie.
Oh, really? And
yes. Yes, I was actually producing it. And I had invited some of my sex worker girlfriends over.
Uh-huh.
And had told them, we're going to ask you to just do what it is that you do naturally. You know, we wanted this to be a female masturbation video. We wanted uh-huh. to see real orgasms and real sexuality, and that's why we called it Real Women, Real Fantasies. We didn't want uh-huh. any scripting. So we had no scripts, and we didn't know what anybody was going to bring. And so people brought dildos, and some people brought vibrators, and some of the girls, one of them, brought Nancy Friday's Secret Garden.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. And so she's like got the book in one hand, and her other hand is on her privates, and she's reading from the book. And
uh-huh.
it was so hot.
Mm-hmm.
It was so hot. And if you could imagine this very buxom blonde wearing reading glasses and lingerie.
Perfect.
And so I get it, although it's never actually worked for me, and I'm wondering, can you give us, I mean, it worked for me to watch her read it, let me tell you, but as far as me actually reading a book and playing with myself with my other hand, can you tell us a little bit about how women relate to romance novels, how this is like women's porn, in fact, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, first of all, I wanted to comment on the Nancy Friday one in that it's funny because I had been reading Harlequin romances before that, which are, you know, they're very sweet. They're very tame compared to, I mean, at the time, you know, that there were, you know, I mean, I don't know, for me, I was young. I was in high school and I hadn't had sex, so I had nothing. So for me, it was like, oh, wow, you know, got a little pulse racing. And then I discovered Nancy Friday's book because my dad had bought it for my mom. And somehow I found it, and it was like a whole nother world. It was like, oh, my God, I never knew women could put lipstick down there and that could be a turn-on. Or, you know, I mean, it was just my little innocent eyes were wide open at that time. And so
right.
that was probably the beginning of, you know, really understanding what was erotic, you know, beyond the, you know, just kind of the sweet, nice, emotional story. So back to your question, though, about, you know, what it is or what the appeal is, I think romance is, it's the best of both worlds. And I think the reason why, you know, the whole porn thing, we know it doesn't work is because it really, for women, most of the time, I'm not saying women can't get off on porn, but I mean in terms of the way men do, or you want to watch all the time, or, you know, it's like your main type of, you know, the thing that arouses you, is because
right.
there's no relationship there. I mean, a romance takes the qualities that women like in a man, you know, that someone that's going to make her feel like she is, you know, God's gift to manhood, that she is so special. He may not be able to open up to anybody else in the world, but my God, when he meets her, you know, she is the one that he's able to open up to, you know, be this caring, giving person, and just for her. So it's this feeling of this, you know, really great-looking guy, really sexy guy, intelligent guy, all the things that, like I said, that women want, treating you the way in which you really want to be treated, that in a way in which you're not going to get on a consistent basis in real life. So it's buying into that fantasy. And then I think when you add in, you know, the sexual or the sensual component, once again, it's done in a way that women can relate to, where it's not about the penetration. I mean, yeah, that gets there, and that, you know, at some point that has to happen in a romance. But that's like the icing on the cake. You know, most of the story is about the foreplay. It's about the words they use with each other, how he makes her feel, you know, how he touches her, what it feels like. I mean, it's really, I think, buying into the fantasies that women have about wanting to, the way they want to be treated in real life.
And you, when you say foreplay, you're actually not just talking about, you know, nibble on her neck and suck on her nipples. We're talking about how you talk to a woman, the intellectual foreplay, right?
Right, exactly. Or when you are doing that nibbling, It's not just like in porn where you're just describing the mechanics of what the person's doing. There's more to it. It's like, so when he's nibbling your neck, what is he feeling? You know, what is he thinking? What does he want? Is he holding back? Is he struggling? You know, is he struggling not to come because it feels so good? I mean, does he, I mean, what's really going on with him on an emotional level? And same thing with her. You know, okay, so he's doing all this to her. What is she thinking? Okay, so then there's the power struggle that goes on in the bedroom. So it's like, okay, she wants to take control, and now she wants to, like, make him just so crazy, but he's got to wait. I mean, there's all this sexual tension. That's what's in a romance that is not, or an erotic, you know, an erotic romance, and even erotica that's geared towards women. It's not about the actual thrusting. You just jump to that and describe the mechanics. He did her, you know, he twisted her nipples, he sucked her. What, I mean, it's like,
right,
that does nothing for most women, you know?
Interesting. So it's so what I'm hearing is it's the motivations, the private thoughts of the players, what they're thinking, and so, like, you said, like, maybe he's trying desperately not to come because he's so excited, or she's trying to outfox him and make him wait longer. Those things are, like, where the erotica really kicks in as being very sexually arousing for a woman.
Right. And also keeping a little bit, you know, real from the standpoint of, you know, we all bring our own baggage into the bedroom. We bring our insecurities, you know, about either things that have happened in the past in relationships, or maybe there's insecurities about how we look, or whatever that is, you bring that into the bedroom. And so that usually adds a little bit of tension. I think that that's also what makes them work, is there's lots of tension. Even when you're having sex or when they're interacting, it's not the, oh, I love you so much, life is so wonderful. It's like, where's the joy in that? There's no tension there. There's nothing to make you want to keep turning the pages because everybody's happy, they love each other, everything's going great. You know, that's not what a good love story is. You know, it's about...
It's like, yeah, it's like my ex-husband used to say, without conflict, there is no story.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true.
Yeah.
So do you watch the old movies to get inspiration, or where does your inspiration come from? Is maybe this stuff is autobiographical and you've just had a really hot and sexy life?
No, that's definitely not the case. Definitely not. And I wouldn't, like, that seems to be a common question when people ask you, right, about real experiences, and I'm like, no, I don't, because for one thing, it's a fantasy. I don't want to write about real experiences. This is like a time for me to be able to be creative and write about something that might intrigue me, something that's interesting. I don't want to write about something that's real. So that's one reason. And then secondly, it's like I imagine people that get a tattoo with someone they love on their arm. You know, it says, I love Johnny, and then you break up with Johnny and you're stuck with this tattoo for the rest of your life. Well, it's the same thing with the book. I mean, I have to sell these books, you know, for my whole career, and I don't want to look back and be reminded of a guy who maybe I don't like anymore or didn't end well or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, so I definitely don't write about that. But in terms of inspiration, it really just depends. Sometimes it can be triggered by real things, like Sin Club. There's a story in there that was triggered by something real. I was at a club and this guy drives by and shouts his phone number out, you know, out of a car, you know, saying, call me. And I'm like, what woman in her right mind is going to call some guy that just went, like, oh, what woman? And so that became the premise for that story.
And what woman in her right mind is going to what?
Call some guy who yells his number out of a car while he drives by. And so that became the premise for one of the stories in Sin Club. It was like, okay, what if she did call? You know, what if she was this jaded woman and all she wanted men for was sex? And what if she decided she was going to call? And what if she got the wrong number? And what if, you know, so then it just sparked this whole idea.
Wow. So do your characters take on a life of their own?
You know, people say that. And I wish as a writer I knew what that really meant. Because I'm like, for me, no, my characters are usually a struggle. I mean, it's like, I mean, in a way they do, but it's not like for me writing comes effortlessly and I sit down and my God, the words just flow. And before I know at the end of the day, I've written 30 pages a day and oh, you know, I mean, it's like they come to me in bits and spurts and I'll have an idea for how I think this chapter is going to go. And then after agonizing over it and writing it for, you know, however long it takes, then I'll notice that it's gone a different direction. But it doesn't really feel to me like they've taken on a life on their own because it seems to go so slowly.
Oh. Well, the writing process is, you know, I have different experiences of writing based on different books that I write.
And oh, really? So some of them have gone very quickly for you?
Well, I'm doing my memoir right now, and it has a life of its own.
Really?
And, you know, I've averaged about 1,000 words an hour, and which is a lot for me.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this thing just really wants to come. So, yeah, some of the books just, they kind of write me.
Awesome.
And, well, and then others don't. I mean, when I wrote Sex Secrets of Escorts, I had to treat it like a job. I'd set the alarm and wake up every day and write for 8 hours. I'd take a lunch break just like I was working a desk job.
Right.
I'd figure out exactly how many words I needed to write in a week in order to keep
right.
up the schedule. And it was not a very pleasant experience.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was cranking out a sex manual, and now I'm working on, you know, the story of my life, which I thought at 48 I was far too young for, but my publisher said now's the time because I'd gotten all this media exposure. But, yeah, I feel like a writer finally, you know. It's like I'm going, oh, this is fun.
Right.
I didn't know it was supposed to be fun.
Exactly.
So I'm going to check in with our listeners here for a minute. I just want, guys, we got Rochelle Chase here. She's an author, a beautiful author. She's got a website, RochelleChase.com. She's got a brand new book called The Sin Club. And guess what? She's given away an iPod. So give us a call here, and you can talk to her and maybe find out how you can get your hands on that iPod for Christmas. The number here for USA, toll-free, is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or in Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And, of course, you can also hit that old BBS fast chat if you just want to send a message to the window there, and I'll read it online. Okay, so you want to tell us a little bit about this iPod? You've got a fascinating website. I mean, you've got, like, contests going on, and you're really a one-woman show.
Well, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, I definitely keep busy. Yeah, the iPod, as you mentioned, the photo that's on my website, I've had that about a year, and I decided, you know, it's time for a change. And so I have put up a couple of other photos that I'm thinking about using for my website. And so really I'm just asking people to stop by, cast your vote for, you know, which photo you think would be good for the website, and leave a comment. I'd love to hear a comment from you in terms of why you chose that photo, and you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPod.
Wow. Don't you love stuff like that? I recently was trying to get an idea of what should I call what it is I do, because I'm helping people with relationship issues, mostly over the telephone.
Right.
And I hate the word coach. Can't really
right.
stand the word mentor. And, you know, and I can't use the word therapist.
Uh-huh. That sounds like a contest.
Give me, what should I call myself,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I put it out in my newsletter and told, you know, the winner would get a free press kit CD, which has, like,
oh,
it's awesome little CD. It's got the whole 60-minute program of Bill Maher's Politically Incorrect, starring Howie Mandel and Charo and myself. And a couple other TV shows. But anyway, yeah, it was fun because you get amazing, wonderful ideas from your fans.
Definitely. And
yeah.
And that's something that I'm learning, that, you know, that fans like that. I mean, I'm always thinking, oh, who wants to really know about me? Who wants to, you know, I mean, that just seems so kind of boring, you know, and so I don't really think all the time to do those kinds of things. And I had another contest a while back where this photographer had taken these really neat noir kind of shots, you know, they're black and white, and I have a cigarette, you know, and you kind of see the smoke, and I have this kind of veil thing over my face. And I thought they were really neat. They were kind of moody. And
wow.
So I put them up on my blog, and I asked people, because I just thought, well, let me just, I don't know where I got the idea. I just thought they were neat photos. And I just said, you know, tell me a story. Tell me in a sentence or a paragraph or whatever what you think this, what's just happened to this woman, you know, looking at this photo. And I couldn't believe the responses I got. I mean, people took the time. And, I mean, they were so, some had me like in, you know, like a paranormal world where I was like this demon slayer thing. And I mean, it was just, the creativity was just amazing.
Wow.
But my point is people really like that, and I just don't think of those things because I'm thinking, well, why would you care to write about me or to speculate about that? And I'm like, I'm really honored that people actually take interest in, and do that.
Oh, yeah. No, I same here. And I, you know, it's just, for me, it's always just kind of a humble reminder that I'm not a self-made woman. I may sometimes feel like I am, but I'm really kind of a collection of, you know, what all of my mentors and and clients and fans, you know, they've helped create who I am.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and actually, it's, you know, it's a pretty exciting process when you think about it because, you know, you can build on that and become more and become bigger, but it's really based upon how much you're fed by all these other people.
How much what?
They, your fans, your clients, and your mentors have fed you, you know?
Exactly.
I really do appreciate that, that process. So
yeah.
I'm looking here. You've got, what is this? Sex Lounge Finding Derek contest winners?
Yeah, I had a contest where guys are competing to be the hero of my other book, Sex Lounge.
Oh, my God, these guys have got amazing abs.
Yeah, there were some good ones. There were a lot of great-looking guys. And so they submitted. There's a findingderek.com website. It's still up. The contest is over, but the guys are still there. And they submitted photos and little short essay answers and a little boy audio clip of, you know, reading just a couple sentences from Sex Lounge. And then readers came and voted for them, and they had this little celebrity panel that judged. And so it was a really fun contest. It was really fun.
Well, these guys are all models. How did you get the? I'm just wondering how did you get them? I mean, I haven't seen guys with bodies like this even in the People Magazine's Sexiest Men of the Year.
Well, I have to admit, I did go to some of the modeling websites, and they did, you know, send out post announcements. You know, hey, you know. And so they did come that way. I also went, believe it or not, I tried dating sites.
Oh, you did?
I put a profile up on a dating site and wasn't there to date. I expressly said I wasn't there to date and, you know, asked guys to enter there as well. But,
wow.
Yeah, I did actually, I did kind of look for places where I thought hunky guys would hang out.
Yeah, boy, it's sure amazing. Well, anyway, ladies, you should get over to RochelleChase.com and check out these abs.
Yeah, there were some good ones. It was a rough job.
You poor dear. You must hate your job.
I do.
Just terrible. The diversity, you know, it's interesting. Some guys have got like those amazing six packs, and that other guy has got that sexy, I don't know what they call that, but where the ab muscle kind of makes a little V pointing down to the package.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 That's what I like better.
Yeah.
Really good. So, can I ask you something? Well, I think I'm having a hot flash. Thanks a lot, Rochelle.
Good. My job is done then.
So, do you get hot when you're writing your books?
You know, it's
I know that's a personal question, but that's what I do. I ask personal questions.
That's okay. It's kind of funny. There's been a couple of things that have happened. like sometimes I'll be so into it from a writing standpoint. I don't know how to really describe it, but I'm like a little distanced from it. I'm really like the words are flowing. It's working. I know it's working. I'm excited. It's working. But I'm really excited because it's work. I'm not really experiencing the story. But then I'll go back and read it, what I've written, because then I'm in reader mode and I'm actually reading it. And then I'll get that, woof, that was hot, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there's other times where I'll read it and I won't really feel it, but then afterwards I'm like, ooh, I feel a little hormonal, you know, rush here, so I guess that was hot.
You know, I don't write erotica, so this is fascinating for me, but I do try to write humor into my work so
yes.
I can relate to the idea of coming back over it and finding myself laughing.
Uh-huh.
And going, oh, I guess it is funny.
Exactly. Well, don't you feel, though, that you kind of get too close to it? I mean, you're, like,
yeah.
really in it, you know, and so you're not really looking at the big picture. You're, like, right in that moment, whatever it is you're working on. And so,
well, I got to tell you, one of the least sexy jobs I ever had was editing my own porn that I was producing.
Oh, really? Why was that least? Why was that the least sexy?
Because it's like you see it forwards, backwards, in slow motion, and
right.
speed it up. You're trying to do all these fancy cuts. You know, you want to do fades and jump shots, and so you try to figure out. Okay, you play it back a million times, trying to figure out exactly
right.
where you're going to slice it, and how,
right.
and
uh-huh.
what comes next. And so you've dissected it to such a point that now. It's weird. You're just kind of ruined. By the time you're done, you're not even sure if it's sexy anymore.
Okay, I totally understand what you're talking about.
It's too much detail.
Yeah.
Too much detail.
Yeah. I understand. Been there.
Yeah,
definitely been there.
So that's one aspect of it. On the other hand, I will say that if I haven't spent a lot of time editing it, and I'm just seeing something that I have done, like maybe for the Playboy Channel or something, I actually could get very hot looking at it.
Because
I don't have to fantasize that I'm in it. I am in it.
Exactly.
So I have been both turned on and bored to tears.
It sounds weird, but I totally understand.
So let me ask you, so do you ever watch porn to get ideas on how to write your sexual narratives?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say that I have watched porn. You know, there's sometimes when I'm not really in the mood to write something hot. I mean, you know, especially when I'm in deadline mode and the book has to be done. I'm sorry, I'm really not sitting there feeling aroused. I'm feeling stressed. I've got to get this book done. I'm not always right in the mood. So I have watched porn or read something really erotic to try to get into that mindset, but not to get ideas on how to do something.
Yeah. Well, porn, I have found, is not always the best place to try to learn anything about sex.
No.
Except maybe what not to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why I always stuck with the amateur documentary style stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not into that. You know, like, I'll bet you that there is nowhere in your book a moment where the guy ejaculates on the girl's face and she has an orgasm.
You know what? You are so right. There's not a single scene like that there.
Or what about her back? Does she have an instant orgasm? Yes,
exactly.
I'd have an orgasm every time I took a shower. Then I'd be all wet, not just a little dribble.
Right. Yeah, I love that about porn. I love how it's like he does absolutely nothing for her, and instantly it's like, and she is just so aroused. Although, you know, when I've watched it, you know, I think it's more... I can't suspend disbelief. You know, that's what we always talk about, you know, when you're writing books, when you write romance, the reader has to be able to suspend disbelief and be able to really get in the story and believe it. And, you know, and so much of the porn, it's like, I just can't get beyond how ridiculous it is to really get into, you know, wow, this is really arousing. And the few that I have been the one where there's been a lot of dialogue, you know, and not just the fuck me. I'm sorry. I don't know if I can say that. Sorry. Not just the four-letter words.
Or internet.
Oh, good. Okay.
However, Thursday, you'll really be able to talk like that if you ever want to come back on the adult section.
Really? Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah, this is actually going to be my last Monday night program where we have to, well, we just kind of watch our language a little bit. We're going to be going over to the adult side, and I'm still going to have very cerebral content, but yes, then you'll be able to say that F word.
Yeah, okay.
It'll be just like being on HBO.
Well, pretend like I didn't say that F word. I really didn't.
Okay. I think we're allowed one per hour.
Okay.
But anyway, as you were saying.
Yes, as I was saying before I got a little distracted there, what was I saying?
We were talking about, good question. I think we both got a little nervous there.
I just kind of lost it when I slipped the F-word slip out. Of course, that happens in real life, too, the F-word slip out. You kind of lose that.
Kind of interrupts everything.
Exactly.
If there's something, we've got a few more minutes here, but I'm still looking at your website here, and if there's some things that I'm leaving out that you want to draw people's attention to, feel free to tell me. But I'm just fascinated with the contest section here because you're so prolific. You've also got one called Chase the Dream Contest.
Yeah.
This is one that you're co-sponsoring with Lee Michaels. Who's Lee Michaels?
Lee Michaels is also another romance author. In fact, she had gotten her start. She is actually the one I took my first romance writing class with, the online romance writing class.
Okay.
So I kind of, you know, got my start by taking her class. And she used to write Harlequin romances, and she has written about 75 different Harlequin romances. And, I forget how many millions of copies of her books there are out there. I think it's like 25 million. I just remember.
Oh, wow. Pages. Well, lucky you.
Yeah, she's a great woman. She's been really wonderful, and now she's doing publishing. She's not really writing as much anymore. After 25 years, you know, it's like maybe time for a little bit of a change.
Always.
So she's doing more on the publishing side, publishing a lot of historical books in Iowa, which is where she lives, but. But yeah, I teamed up with her. We co-sponsor a writing contest once a year, and this is actually kind of my way of paying back because that's how I got my start. I mentioned that erotic contest I'd entered where you had to enter 750 words. Well, I wanted to do the same for other authors, so each year we offer this contest where people can send in the first 1,000 words of a romance or a mainstream fiction book with romantic elements, and then I pick a weekly winner for 10 weeks, and Lee picks a weekly not-quite winner where she does a little mini-critique online, and people can come by and talk, you know, chat and give comments and whatever. And then at the end of the contest, we have a panel of agents and editors who judge the weekly winners, and they leave comments and request more if they want. And so I've had each year somebody has gotten published as a result of the contest, and most people have gotten requests by the agency.
You have really, as far as I'm concerned, this is way better than Oprah.com.
Oh, you have given me the ultimate compliment. Did you guys hear that? She said.
Well, you're giving people an opportunity to get published.
Yeah.
You're giving them a chance to win an iPod. You are giving them a chance to look at a bunch of sexy, hunky, gorgeous men and pick a winner so you can see a beauty pageant judge, you know.
Exactly.
And then I see here you had a chocolate. Chocolate was one of the, you know, these are all women's favorite things, you know.
Yeah.
Gorgeous men, chocolate. I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
Really, really. And what do you got? December Happy Holidays contest? What's this?
Oh, that was last year. Yeah,
that was last year.
Yeah, something I participated with some other authors. Your giveaway books.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, tell us what's in the works now. You got a new book coming out, right?
Yeah, I have a new book, Men on Fire. It's actually, I'm one of three authors in that book. I have a novella called The Firefighter Wears Prada, and that comes out next November. And I'm not quite ready to talk about the big, there's going to be another big contest that it's going to be even better than my Finding Derek contest that's going to be around that one. So definitely encourage people to check the website, you know, as the in the upcoming months for that. Also working on a nonfiction book, not nonfiction in terms of like memoir, that type of nonfiction, but it's actually about a coal mining town in Iowa. And I discovered this when I went to visit Lee Michaels, you know, just to hang out with her, and discovered this town. So I'm actually working on a nonfiction book.
Oh, my gosh. So you're really making a big departure there.
Well, for me, it's the problem is, even when I started writing this, I just kind of jumped into it. I mean, it's not like I planned on writing erotic romance. I would just enter contests. Someone would say, oh, we're looking for a paranormal vampire, you know, futuristic, whatever. I'm like, oh, maybe I could write that. And then I'd write something and send it in, and it would get a rejection. It's like, okay, that didn't stick. So it's like I would just keep writing, and the erotic romance is what stuck. So I didn't really plan it.
Because sex sells.
Well, yeah, but I write what I'm interested in. I don't really play. I really need to get better at my agent. I have an agent now. And she's trying to get me to focus more on, Rochelle, we need to look at this as a career. We need to look at this as, okay, what do you want to focus on? I'm like, oh, I want to do this and this and this and this and this. Well, readers may not be interested in this and this and this and this and this.
Yeah, well, I'm just getting ready to shoot off a letter like that. It'll be interesting to see how it's received because I, like you, girlfriend, have got a lot of things I'm interested in that I want to write about. And I can pull a sexual thread through almost all of it, but
yeah.
I mean I'm working on a book right now about my my dog who was killed earlier this year when a car ran over her.
Uh-huh.
And,
oh, wow.
And I'm bringing out, I mean, it's, you know, an awful lot about my relationship with her, but I also go back into other animals in my life, and I start talking about people and their relationships with animals in general. And it gets a little academic at portions, and it's also very sentimental, and I'm sure animal lovers will love it. But the problem, of course, is always, how do you break out of that mold? Because once they've decided she writes sex books.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, and then it's like, you write under a new name, but then if you write under a new name, then the people that know you by, you know, Veronica Monet, they're not going to, I mean, because you might get crossover. If they like you, your sex book,
do you know who Susie Bright is?
Yes.
Susie Bright has written tons and tons of books about sex, and so she came to her publisher and said, I want to do a book about how to write a book. You know,
uh-huh.
I've written 10 or 12 of them now. I think I should be allowed to write a book about how to write a book.
Right.
And they said, oh, no, Susie Bright, you don't get to write about anything but sex.
Oh my gosh.
She broke away from the publisher and her agent, and she went and started the self-publishing process.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote the book. She was getting ready to self-publish it. And just before she went to press, the publisher said, wait, we changed our mind.
I'm not surprised.
But, you know, she had built up a following, and it was obvious that this book was going to do well. And
right.
So she's kind of one of my heroes. I'm like, that's right, sister, don't let them tell you what to write.
Exactly.
Well, we got a couple minutes left here, Rochelle. I want to ask you, I went over to About Rochelle. You are so discreet about yourself. And is there any way that our listeners could hear even a juicy tidbit or two about your own romantic life?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I always joke with my friends and say, if I wrote something about my own romantic life, it would be chick lit. You know, because it's like, it's the exact opposite. It's like, you know, and especially now in this day and age, you know, I mean, I've been stood up for the first time, you know, getting to my 40s. I've never been stood up, you know, on a date before. I mean, literally where you're left at the theater, like waiting and the person doesn't show up. You know, it's like, so my point is, no, I don't really have, I don't think, a lot of juicy tidbits to share about dating.
Well, don't you dare think that getting stand-up has something to do with your age. young lady.
No, but I managed to make it. I'm just saying, I don't know why I hit all these weird experiences at this point. I don't think it has anything to do with my age, really. I don't.
Oh, okay, good.
I mean, I'm in the best part of my life. You know, I feel better about myself at 40-something than I ever did when I was younger, you know. I feel attractive. I feel confident. I feel good, you know.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Yes. Well, getting stood up, let's see. I think I had all the really rotten dating experiences when I was in college.
See, that's my point. That's when everybody has them.
It was horrible. I hated college.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
I loved the girlfriend thing, hanging out with my peeps and, you know, running amok and having all the parties and all that stuff. That
right.
was a ton of fun. But boys, oh, my God, there were just so much problems and heartache.
Wow.
So, yeah, it wasn't until I had been out of college for quite some time. You know, escorting was fabulous.
I was going to say, I mean, yeah, you've had quite the number of experiences, though. I mean,
that was a reprieve, my dear. That was a reprieve. That's one of the ways I'm actually able to help people who are go, well, it's all come easy for you, and you've had everything you wanted. And I go, uh-uh, I had to work to get there, and I can teach you how to work to get there, too.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So, single or married? Do you ever tell people that?
Single. And that's probably why I've encountered more of these interesting dating experiences, because I think I've done more dating since I've been older than I really did when I was younger.
Were you married before?
Yeah, but not very long, and that was late in life. I mean, I got married in 2000.
Okay.
But I mean, before that, it just seems like I would meet guys that I liked. You know, I mean, there'd be time periods, you know, years between them, and then I'd meet a guy, and it's like, oh, and then I'd be in a long-term relationship. And so I didn't really do a whole lot.
Wow. Well, you know, I think it's a kind of a strange time for people when it comes to dating, too. Just there's so many things are shifting with men and women and the whole dating expectation thing, so...
Yeah, that's a whole other show, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's a whole other show, and nobody's quite sure what channel they're on.
Exactly.
You want people to come over to your website, I'm assuming. You want to give them that address again?
Yes. Come visit me at RochelleChase.com.
And that's the www, right?
Yes, if you can do either one, www or without. Mm-hmm.
Either one will come over there. Email or phone number or?
Email is Rochelle@RochelleChase.com.
And best place to find your book, Sin Club. Should they come to your website or should they go to
your board? You can come to my website. There's a little snippet. I also did a little audio snippet as well. You can listen to a little snippet I did there. You can buy it at Amazon, Borders, Barnes & Noble.
Awesome. Okay, and let's see. Final words, my dear. What's your holiday wish for all your fans?
Mm-hmm. I guess my holiday wish is just to have whatever you celebrate, to have a happy holiday and just not get all caught up in the whole commercial aspect of Hollywood. I'm sorry, of holidays. You know, just enjoy being with family. Same thing, Hollywood holidays. I think it was a good
thing. Yeah.
But just enjoy the quality time with family. That's what the holidays are really about, you know. And don't do things you don't want to do. You know, enjoy the holiday.
I think it's an excellent time of year to curl up in front of the fire with a cup of hot cocoa and a really raunchy, erotic book.
You know what? That's an awesome idea. And I think I have just the book for folks.
Michelle, you are so much fun. I hope you'll come back. We'll bring you on to the adult side where you can say the F word, okay?
F word. Thank you.
All right, doll. Have a wonderful holiday however you celebrate.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me.